Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are tuned to Radio Islam International. You are listening to the program Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, yes, it's a very warm and hearty welcome to all our listeners this afternoon. Alhamdulillah, I am back after a lovely, long, well-deserved break. I'm certainly looking forward to being in your company once again, inshallah. Well, today, I don't have a guest, but my topic that I'd like to discuss with you today is all about how to create and to form lasting healthy habits. And I think it's very relevant because the year has just started, and what we normally do is make resolutions where our health is concerned, and let's see how we can actually make it work for us and how it can last for the rest of our, at least for the year, and inshallah for the rest of our lives. Okay, I'm going to just be looking at things like, I'm going to be sharing with you, some hints on how to look at nutrition, how to change those habits with regards to nutrition, exercise, everything that we always want to do, but we don't get down to doing it really. We're also going to look at things like your mental diet and your attitude and your general well-being and your surroundings. So it's basically, a holistic look at how we can change our lives to a healthier lifestyle, inshallah. So I hope I'll be able to inspire you and motivate you today during this program and with all the information that I will share with you, inshallah. And I'm going to start off by telling you something. It's kind of a story. It's everybody's story. It's everybody's life these days. And yes, it's the beginning of the year. And like I said, we all have resolutions. And you can all feel this growing sense of excitement bubbling inside of you. You know, in the beginning of the year, we all feel so excited. We have all these wonderful new resolutions. I know we're almost over the first month, but how to keep going? I think right now we're still full of excitement. Well, it's time for a fresh start with a healthy new lifestyle to unleash your full potential. We are inspired by all the success stories about former coach potatoes who ended up running a marathon in 1 year. You go all into it. You work out at the gym 5 times a week and you start on a juice diet or, a juice fast. Or you just go onto this special diet before definitely cutting out all the sugar, the gluten, the dairy, the caffeine all at once. So you just go in headlong, you're so happy and excited about all this that we don't think further than the first month. Now, at first, the positive effects of exercising and healthy eating rub off on the rest of your life. You wake up early and refreshed, and you have no trouble saying no thank you to, perhaps somebody offering you a piece of chocolate cake at perhaps a party or a dinner or a function for that matter. Until after 2 or 3 weeks, life suddenly throws you off course. After being up all night with your little baby, you're desperate for another shot of perhaps caffeine, maybe just that cup of coffee, and you miss your first exercise class because you're so swamped with work. And when you finally get home at night, you feel too tired to cook up a healthy meal. Or those vegetables, become to clean up all those vegetables and prepare that healthy vegetable dish. Of course, you'll jump back into the old routine, but you can't shake that feeling that you've somehow failed. So, when you do this, you really feel so disheartened. Well, it starts to feel like a lot of effort to keep up this perfectly healthy lifestyle. And the next time life gets in the way of your resolutions, you automatically just fall back into your old routine of crashing in front of the TV with a microwave meal or just a quick takeout, just order something over the phone after a very stressful day. Well, does the story seem or sound familiar to you? It does to many of us, actually, because we all start so happy and refreshed and ready to take on the world, and then suddenly something goes wrong along the way and we're back to where we were. Now, a total transformation of your health surely sounds appealing. We all want to do, just the right things, but too many drastic lifestyle changes at once usually isn't the recipe for long-term success. So the problem is that we want to do too much, too soon, all at once. We want to do it now. Research shows that we only have a limited amount of willpower each day. So when you want to improve your health, it's much easier to focus on creating small, doable habits, things that we can do, those automated healthy behaviors you do without thinking about it. You want to do things that you normally do, without thinking about it. We don't want to be, keep on reminded that, oh, we have to do it this way. I mustn't overeat. I mustn't, do the wrong thing. I mustn't take this. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be stressed all the time. You want to do things that you can do automatically. But the trick really is to start small. Pick one tiny health habit at a time until it's a natural part of your routine. So that's the big trick. Start small and put one tiny health habit at a time. Just start with one little thing until it becomes part of your routine. So wellnessness, to help you kickstart a healthier lifestyle without too much stress and effort, I'm going to be sharing with you a whole lot of simple habits that can make that big difference, inshallah. So when we return, we're going to be looking at things like nutrition, food is very important, exercise, mental diet, attitude, and your general well-being and your surroundings. All of this plays a very, very important role in, trying to change and make a better, healthier lifestyle for yourself. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and today I'm hoping to inspire and motivate our listeners and myself, of course, to kickstart a healthier lifestyle without too much stress and effort. And I'm going to be sharing some simple habits that can make a big or a huge difference in your life, inshallah. Okay, the first one, and we're going to start off with nutrition. It's important always to remember this, that, you need to always add herbs and spices to your meals. This is one of the tastiest ways to boost your health. Now, what we sometimes do, and we have this habit, is that many of us go onto these quick diets, and what we end up doing is we start eating only boils or only steamed food with almost no spices in it, and you can eat it for a little while, and then after a week, 2 weeks maybe at the most, maybe a month, I would say, and that's it. You cannot handle the food anymore. And, especially us as Indians, we love our spices. And I think the worst thing one can do is take away that spices from our foods. So they say to add your herbs and spices to your meals is one of the tastiest ways to boost your health. Not only are these seasonings packed with antioxidants and other nutrients that protect your health, but herbs and spices can also be used to replace the salt and the sugar in your recipes without sacrificing flavor. So you don't need to actually, sacrifice all that flavor in our foods. Spicy food may even help you control your weight. Studies have shown that people eat smaller portions of meals with fat-burning chili peppers than of bland-tasting dishes. And I think we really cannot eat bland foods. So what we need to do is make a conscious effort to spice up your favorite foods. For example, just the little examples, you know, when you're having a cup of cappuccino, you can sprinkle some cinnamon over that. You know how lovely that tastes. Sip on a fresh mint tea or cook up a flavorsome dinner. Make your own tomato sauce with garlic, with basil, oregano. Add ginger, your normal chili powder, turmeric to a stir fry, or toss fresh parsley into your salads. So basically what, you know, the whole idea is not to give up on your spices, but to just cut out on your fats. So what we need to do is, you know, you can go onto this diet, eat all the foods that you want to eat, but make sure that, you know, you still have that taste, our own kinds of food, the foods that you are used to. Cut out on the fats, definitely, but keep your spices. Maybe a little less of the spices that we add to our foods, but make sure those spices are there, because I assure you, you're not going to enjoy bland food at all, especially us that are not used to it. Okay, another one which is so important for us to remember is our veggies that we need to eat with at least two of our meals. Now, eating plenty of vibrant vegetables is a key element of a healthy lifestyle, but it's not always easy getting your five veggies a day, especially if you have to get it all in at dinner time, because that's basically our main meal. Dinner time is our main meal, and we can't get all those veggies in at that time. So why not make a small effort each day to add vegetables to not one, but at least two of your meals. You know, what we can do is obviously cut out the breakfast, because it's sometimes, you know, with the busy lifestyle that we lead, we're not going to get time to have vegetables for breakfast as well. Although you can sometimes, but what you can do is make sure at least for your lunch and your dinner that you have the veggies that you need, or maybe in your snacks, but I'll tell you more about that. You will just benefit from the wide range of health-boosting nutrients, but thinking of how you can fit veggies into your breakfast or your lunch, it helps you make overall healthier food choices too. So think about what you are going to cook or where you're going to get those veggies into your meals. I mean, it's hardly tasty to add greens to a bowl of artificially colored cereals or perhaps greasy snack, right? We hardly enjoy our greens with our cereals, do we now? Luckily, consuming more vegetables can be as simple as mixing spinach into your morning eggs or putting slices of tomato and sprouts on your regular sandwich and having a glass of fresh beetroot or apple juice or any of those fresh juices. And of course, there are so many more ideas and recipes to check out, you know, on ways to eat more veggies every day. So that is very important. Eat your veggies with at least two of your meals. Another important one is to pack healthy snacks. Now, you know, it's a habit that you can start. If you're not used to it, then you can start doing that. It's an all too common scenario. At 3 p.m., rolls around. You find yourself craving that chocolate chip cookie to beat the afternoon slump. I know many of us do it. But although sugary or fatty snacks can give you a temporary boost, they will quickly lead to a blood sugar crash that saps your energy. To keep your energy levels stable throughout the day, carry healthy snacks with you. Now, many of us don't have this habit, but it's important to get into this habit. So try doing it slowly but surely. Plain yogurt, a piece of fruit, raw unsalted nuts, or a boiled egg are all convenient and portable bites, but you could even make up your own snack supplies with homemade treats. And you know, there's so much out there that you can actually make. And I think also for us at home, those of us that are not, you know, out of the household day, or, you know, at work or wherever we are, you can always make these snacks and keep them ready for you. So whenever you feel like having it, something, your snack is there. It's also something that one should be thinking about. Of course, then comes our water. Drink a glass of water first thing in the morning. Now, do you find yourself reaching for a cup of coffee as soon as you wake up, or a cup of tea as soon as you wake up? Well, it might be interesting to experiment how starting the day with a simple glass of water makes you feel. Actually, it does work wonders. Although a moderate consumption of caffeine doesn't seem to have the dehydrating effect once assumed, drinking a cup of coffee first thing in the morning, when your production of the energy-regulating hormone cortisol is at its peak, can lead to building a tolerance to its stimulating effect. But water is still the most recommended non-caloric way to maintain the balance of fluids in your body. Do you find water too boring or too cold in the morning? Many people can't actually have a glass of water at that time of the morning. But try starting your day with a cup of lukewarm water with lemon juice. Well, if you can't even have the lemon juice, just try having a lukewarm, or just a hot cup of water or a glass of water when you get up in the morning. A holistic practice that is said to soothe the digestive system. It boosts your immune system and your hydrate, or at least it hydrates your lymphs. So actually trying, you know, having a glass of water early in the morning is actually, very healthy to have. And one should actually try and, get to this to become a habit in your life. And it is simple. You know, when you get up in the morning, for us as Muslims, actually, it's very simple. We do get up very early in the morning to perform our Fajr Salah. Some people even get up for Tahajjud Salah, Alhamdulillah. But when you get up at that time of the morning, instead of going into the kitchen to go and prepare that cup of coffee or cup of tea, why don't you just have that water instead? You know, instead of having the coffee, think of having a glass of water. And, you know, sometimes we end up making wudu once or twice in that period, maybe even more sometimes. But every time you make wudu, just have a cup of water or a glass of water. Alhamdulillah. And then we also need to cut down on our sugary drinks. More and more research shows that refined sugar wreaks havoc on our health. One powerful way to limit your intake of the sweet poison is to cut down on your sodas, that's your fizzy drinks, our cool drinks. They say even fresh juice and energy drinks have a lot of sugar in it. And most of these beverages contain about 5 to 10 teaspoons of sugar. I'm sure we never think of it that way. And this leads to a vicious cycle of spikes in your blood sugar levels that can cause long-term damage to your body. Unfortunately, diet soda, the word diet, we're always looking for diet drinks if we can't have the normal drinks anymore. It's actually not a healthy alternative to regular soft drinks. Artificial sweeteners trick your body into thinking you're consuming real sugar, and that actually confuses your metabolism, resulting into burning fewer calories while craving even more sweets and refined carbs. So this diet sugars and things like that, sweeteners, they're actually not good. You know, try and actually not have them at all. Cut them out. And you can do it. Now, if you want to cut down your sugar consumption, start with swapping your soda and fruit juices for plain water. And if you can't just drink plain water, because many people actually feel they can't drink it. I know I was one of them. Flavored, you know, just try to flavor it with slices of citrus fruit, even fresh fruit and mint, if you like. It actually tastes very good. Fresh vegetable juice or green smoothies, unsweetened nut milk or coconut water. You could also slowly learn to enjoy your warm beverages without added sugar, or sweeten your tea and coffee with a green stevia. Now, that is something that you can actually have. You know, it's a plant, a green stevia plant. It is easily available, I think, and you should try, and even if you go to your nursery, I'm sure you'll be able to get a plant like that. And then just plant it and use the fresh green leaves of that plant and then have that, you know. So if you really, really can't, and actually it's not so difficult to have your tea and coffee without sugar. Another important thing is to eat mindfully. Now, the next time you thoughtlessly gobbling your food, then you ask yourself, am I really hungry, or am I eating because I'm bored, or because I'm stressed or thirsty, or just because it's dinner time? Because that's what we do. We just eat because sometimes, many a time, it's just because we're bored, we don't know what to do. And whenever we're sitting, we have something there to nibble on. We're watching TV, we have something to nibble on. We're sitting and chatting to someone, we will bring something there so that we can, you know, offer the sweets, which is actually wrong. And sometimes we just end up eating for no real reason other than just to put food into our mouth. Emotional overeating and mindlessly putting food into your mouth are an important cause of unhealthy eating habits and weight gain. Now, this is a message for all of us. It's time for a new approach. Try to be fully present when you're eating and really enjoy your meal. So, you know, when you want to eat, do absolutely nothing else but sit down there and say, I'm having my meal, and eat what and really enjoy that meal. Make a rule not to eat on the go anymore or to quickly stuff a sandwich down your throat behind your desk. Sit down when you're having a bite and eat from a nice plate. Don't just eat from these boxes and bags that you get your food in. Chew slowly and try to really notice how your food smells and tastes. It's going to make a big difference. Now, if you're an emotional eater, stop for a second and become aware of why you're suddenly craving comfort food. Find better ways to feed your emotions. Call your best friend when you feel down or lonely, or wind down with an evening stroll or perhaps a warm bath after a stressful day. So the whole idea is, you know, when you're sitting down with that food, now just concentrate on the food that you are eating. Look at what you are eating. Taste the food. Smell the food. Enjoy every morsel of food that you are putting down. You know, don't sit down and just do it for the sake of eating. Right, so basically that's what I have for you with regards to nutrition. There's still a few things that I'm going to be talking about. Exercise, mental diet and attitude, your general well-being. And I hope I can do all of this. This was the most, and I thought this is most important, so I'm going to start off with this. So we're going to take a short break. When we return, we will continue with our program. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. And today we're talking about how to create and how to form lasting healthy habits. We're looking at how to kickstart a healthier lifestyle without too much stress and effort. Hopefully, inshallah, it will inspire and motivate our listeners out there today. You know, it is the beginning of the year and we have so many resolutions that we make, but the whole idea is to keep it going, inshallah. So that's what I'm trying to do, and I'm just trying to help you out there, inshallah, so that we can make it easier for ourselves and, you know, keep on going, hopefully, and make it a way of life, a different way of life, where our health is our priority. Okay, we're now going to look at exercise. And one of the things, or one of the habits that one can actually form is going for a walk. And I think this is so important. We need to be inspired. We need to be motivated to do this. So going for a 20-minute walk every day, especially in green environments, has many health benefits. Besides the more obvious invigorating effects of physical activity, moving around outdoors provides you with fresh air and exposes your skin to sunlight, which obviously will help your body to produce vitamin D. Now, vitamin D is very important for us as well. A stroll through green surrounding is even an effective way to ease brain fatigue and to boost your happiness. So what we need to do is make walking outside a regular part of our day. How many of us actually do it. I know many of us don't do it. You know, we're so stuck in our homes, or we just get into our cars, into the malls. You know, when we want to do our shoppings, we're from our homes into the car. You know, we hardly touch ground. Basically, we hardly, because we in our cars are parked in the garage. We get into our cars. You know, we go to the mall or wherever we want to go to. We just park our car. It's underground again. If you're going to all these big malls, it's underground. It's covered parking. So you hardly, the sun hardly touches you, and you're out and you're in the mall doing your shopping. And we call that exercise? No, definitely not. So we need to make time to walk outside during the day. Go for a stroll to a nearby park on your lunch break or after dinner, or, you know, after breakfast for that matter. Just go for a stroll. Just walk outside. It's so important. If you can't do that at all, then, and, you know, join a group of ladies that can do this. I think this is a lot of advice for myself and for everybody out there, for us ladies out there. We need to do this. You know, just join a group of ladies, and we just go for short walks. You don't have to walk around everywhere. You walk around a park, go to a park, walk around the park, or explore nature with a leisurely Sunday hike. Go for a hike. Do we even do that these days? We don't even do that. You know, we need to do that. I know the holidays are over, but that doesn't mean all of this has to come to an end. We still need to do outdoor activities. So, yes, going for a walk is part of our exercise routine, and we can do it slowly but surely. With regards to exercise also, here's another habit. They say to fit several short bursts of physical activity into your busy day. Now, you've probably read the headlines last year about how a sedentary lifestyle is slowly killing us. Now, if you have long commutes or you sit behind a desk all day, like so many of us, it might be a good idea to start sneaking in more active moments into your schedule. Get into the habit of gently stretching yourself as you get out of bed, doing stand push-ups, or as you're waiting for the tea to boil, knee bends, when you're brushing your teeth. You know, do exercises all the time. At work, take the stairs and try to get up from your chair every hour. You know, sometimes we sit and we just don't get up. We sit for hours on end watching movies. And I think holiday time was one of those times where we, you know, just chill out in front of the TV and watch movies. Or whatever, you know, or just sit around whole day and relax. But what we need to do is get out of the chair every hour, even if we're sitting at work nowadays, because now you're sitting in front of your computers, you know, or behind your desk. But it's important for you to move, to get moving. Even a short walk over the printer or coffee machine will get your blood flowing again. Come up with out-of-the-box and fun ways to fit in some gentle exercises every day. So that is very important, the idea of, you know, getting yourself a little fit nowadays. I think we all need to do it. So even if we're sitting behind the desk, there's something that we can do. It's just get up now and then, take a little walk instead of just sitting put in front of your desk and your computer all day long. And for those people sitting at home and watching a TV, really, for one, TV is not good. You should cut down on watching TV. And you know, also our children, our little ones, I think it's so important for us to inculcate these good habits into our children as well. You know, try and get them to stop sitting in front of the TV and watching TV all the time, and start doing exercises. And I think the best way is for you to be an example to your kids. Right, that's where exercise is concerned. Now we're looking at our mental diet and our attitude. And I think it's important for us to look at our mental diet very quickly. Since we are what we eat, and they normally say that, we are what we eat, we all know we have to choose wisely what we put into our bodies. But have you ever stopped to think about what we actually put into our mind every day? It's important. Well, it is said, we are shaped by our thoughts. We become what we think. I'll repeat that. We are shaped by our thoughts and we become what we think. And that is so true. Whether you're angry, whether you're scared or aroused, your thoughts trigger neurochemical reactions in your body, preparing you to either fight, flight, or be happy. Even more, what you think regularly shapes your deepest beliefs about yourself and the world. And what you believe ultimately steers your actions. How does the information that you consume all day long affect your thoughts and your mood? Let's look at how it does. Does watching the news make you feel pessimistic about the state of the world? Do you get agitated from reading the flaming discussions in comment sections online? Are you shivering under the covers because that horror movie scared you more than you dare to admit? The first step to cleaning up your mental diet is to become aware of what you will fill your mind with. Notice how the books and the magazines you're reading, the articles that you're browsing online, or the TV shows that you watch every week make you feel. Take a good look at what kind of people you surround yourself with, both in real life and on social media. Now, the goal is to spend less time with media and people that suck away your energy or create pointless drama and focus more on those who inspire and motivate you. So the people around you plays also a very important, the people that you mix with, the people that you are in contact with also. You need to be aware of what they do to you. So you need to be aware of, you know, what kind of people you are around with. So it's better to be around people that make you feel happy and make you feel good and inspire you and motivate you all the time. So your mental diet is very important. What you put into your mind is very, very important because that is what it makes you, you know, that is what you become eventually. Another one, well, a little away from that, is to give yourself bedtime. Or rather, before we go on to that, I would like to just talk about another mental one with regards to your mental health. You should develop meaningful connections. Modern technology enables us to communicate with friends. Now, just listen to this one. And strangers all over the world. We know that. And although we love using social media to stay up to date with loved ones who live far away, and we also meet new friends online, nothing replaces real life meetups with deep conversations, with hugs, and with laughter. Now, if you don't believe this, then you're really, I don't know what you'll believe, because really, it is so important to meet up with real life family and friends and hug them and talk to them and have conversations with them, laugh with them, enjoy things with them. It makes such a difference in your life. Now, our brains are wired to connect. For example, loneliness, whether it's from social isolation or just feeling alone in a room full of people, can actually weaken your immune system and set the stage for a range of chronic illnesses. Loneliness is the biggest illness that we can ever have. While spending time with friends and receiving social support during tough times boost your happiness and your overall health. So, all I can say is take inspiration from people that know. Many of these people, you know, great people have given us so much of inspiration. And one such person has said that spread love everywhere you go. Let no one ever come to you without leaving happier. Spread love everywhere you go. Let no one ever come to you without leaving happier. Imagine what a wonderful world this would be, is if the person you meet, when you leave, that person makes you feel happy and makes you, you know, feel good about yourself and about everything around you. Make time each week to deepen your relationship with your family or just hang out with your friends. Put down your phone, be fully present, and really listen to your loved ones when you're together. You know, it's such a bad habit, you know, the phones that we have, when we don't even give enough attention to our own children, our own husbands, and you know, our own spouses for that matter, because we're so busy with our phones. You know, laugh. Be kind to everyone you meet, looking people in the eye when you talk to them. Smiling and a genuinely friendly attitude can make all the difference in their day and, of course, in yours as well. So, yes, and then also you need to develop meaningful connections. Okay. Let me see if I can get back to that one. Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we return, we continue sharing wonderful, ways and habits to make to start becoming healthier and to live a healthier lifestyle, inshallah. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We're continuing with our program, and I'm sharing with you some ways to kickstart a healthier lifestyle without too much stress and effort, and how to, you know, create and form those lasting healthy habits, inshallah. We're going to look at the general well-being and your surroundings. And now what I want to start off with is bedtime. Now, sometimes you wonder, what is it about sleep? You know, everybody keeps on saying sleep is very important. But waking up feeling energized after a good night's sleep is high on most of our wish lists. Many of us want to feel good when we get up in the morning. And yet it can be so challenging to head to bed in time to make that happen. Why can't we sleep early? Just one more email to check, one last chore to do, just 5 more minutes staring mesmerized at the screen. Pointing when it's time to go to sleep can help you get in sync with your body's natural sleep-wake cycle. And it can also keep more regular sleep schedule. According to Happiness, an author by the name of Gretchen Rubin, giving yourself a bedtime is one of the secrets to more happiness and energy. So you give yourself a bedtime. Can we do it? I don't think we can actually do that. But we can try to do it, and we can start doing it. You know, start slowly and it will become a habit. So what are we waiting for? You know, and if you still need convincing why you should prioritize getting 7 or 8 hours of shut-eyed each night, then you must just look at what can happen if you are sleep-deprived. This, you know, if your health, number one, goes down the drain if you are deprived of enough of sleep. And that is the most important thing. If you are not healthy, then you cannot function. So it is important for you to actually make sleeping time so important. You know, make it a time. Like you put on your alarm to get up in the morning, you need to put up an alarm to say, this is it, I need to go to bed. Right, another important thing is gratitude. So if this doesn't convince you, you know, we need to do it. Our sleep is so important, and we need to do this for ourselves. We need to just, you know, leave out everything else that we are doing. And when that alarm goes at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock, whatever time you feel is a good time for you to sleep, then, you know, like we have to get up, we have to sleep. You know, put aside everything you're doing and go to bed. I think it's the most important thing to do. And I think it's a good habit to actually put that alarm on to go to bed instead of just putting the alarm off to get up in the morning. Another thing is to be grateful. I think we need to practice being gratitude, being grateful for things that we get, for the little things that are going on, you know, going well in our life, is one of the most powerful techniques to feel better. Just to be thankful, to be grateful. Studies have shown that time and time again, counting your blessings every day trains your mind to focus on the positive, and being optimistic in turn is strongly related to an overall better health. And Islamically, we are also encouraged to make shukr, to say thank you for what we have, to thank Allah for all the good in our lives. This week, try the simple gratitude exercise. It's actually from Martin Seligman's positive psychology book called Flourish. And maybe it will work. See if it can make a difference. Every night for the next week, set aside 10 minutes before you go to sleep. Write down 3 things that went well today and why they went well. And then make shukr for that. Say thank you for that. Okay? There is so much, and I'm actually just looking at a few things that we can actually skip out today, but I would have loved to have continued because there's so many things that I have wanted to say to you, and I think it's so important, and it certainly motivated me and inspired me a little. So I'm really hoping that it is inspiring you out there as well. Set up your surroundings for success. I think this is also very important. Sticking to new habits can be challenging. Now, we're used to automatically responding to everyday cues in our living environment. Just think of checking your phone each time you're waiting for the bus or you're buying popcorn at the cinema, even when you're not that hungry. But you can also use this principle to your advantage by designing your surroundings in such a way that it triggers the desired behaviors. Now, James Clear writes in his article on environmental design, and this is what he says. Here's an easy way to apply environment design to your own life. Think about your environment in relation to the number of steps it takes to perform a habit. To make good habits easier, reduce the number of steps to do them. To make bad habits harder, increase the number of steps between you and the bad habit. So, how can you put this clever advice to good use? You could place a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter if you want to make a healthier food choice. Have your running shoes waiting for you by the front door, or set the alarm on your phone to remind you to take deep belly breaths and quiet your mind for 5 minutes. Which changes in your surroundings will you make to improve your health and your happiness? Think about it. So just take a few minutes to do this. Inshallah, it will be of benefit to you. Now, I'd like to end my program today, inshallah, with the last one, a habit that I want to share with you, and it says to unplug. The oldest thing about what's happening right now is that you've stopped living your life, and we're just recording them. What we are doing, we have actually stopped living our lives when we are just recording them. We all happily embrace the endless possibilities that modern technology offers to stay connected and entertained 24/7. It's important to set boundaries for ourselves about how to use today's gadgets and media to our benefit and not become a slave of it. Taking a digital detox is related to many healthy habits in this list, like getting enough sleep, preventing information overload, and deepening your connection with others. So what we need to do, and what I would like to leave you with, is just set little rules for yourself. Maybe you want to set your phone on airplane mode after 9 p.m., or you turn off all your electronic devices 1 hour before bedtime to help you to sleep quicker and deeper. Or perhaps a technology-free rule at mealtimes, or an unplugged Sunday work wonders for your well-being. Whatever works best for you, whatever works best for you, just know when it's time to forget your phone and enjoy life as it's happening in front of you. A question I'd like to leave you with: which one simple habit will you start building today to kickstart your healthier lifestyle? Well, listeners, that's it for today, and I do wish you all the best for this new year, inshallah. Well, that's it then for me. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.